Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Southern Passion Lounge. I am your host, Chef Amadeus. This is where the industry comes to hang out. We're going to have a great time this week, really great time. First of all, I'm looking forward to tonight. You know, everybody knows I'm a big college football fan, so tonight is Alabama versus Clemson. Looking forward to that. SEC will rule again. Go ahead, SEC. Now, granted, I'm a Gator fan, but in this situation, I'm going for my SEC family. We're going to have a lot of fun today because the guest that I have on the show today is going to be fun to talk to, a lot of different things. So my first guest is here in Jacksonville, has a magazine. It's called City Extra Magazine. And we're going to be talking about his whole magazine and the things that he and I will be doing together for the magazine. Because he came out with the 25 restaurants in Jacksonville. And so we had a conversation about that, and one thing led to another. He's on my radio show today. So looking forward to having David Vandegrift on. Also, this is a good friend, old friend kind of thing. She's in Memphis, Chef Kina, and she's going to be on Hell's Kitchen this Friday. She's on the new season of Hell's Kitchen. And so she's going to be coming on to talk about her experience with Hell's Kitchen and, you know, answer those little things. So if you have any questions or whatever, you know, send me a tweet on Twitter at Chef Amadeus, hashtag The Southern Passion Lounge. And then also, you know, on the Farmer's Report, we're going to have Korea Hawkins. She's going to come on and let us know what's in the field right now, what's in the field that's coming up that chefs should be using. So that's what we're going to have on the show today. I'm excited about this week's show because I get to talk about some of the things that have been going on. I've been having conversations with different chefs. And so 2016, from what I have gotten from other chefs around the country, it's the year of collaborations. So there's a lot of chefs doing a lot of different collaborations with each other, not just in their hometown, but in other cities and also in other countries. Chef Kina will be talking about that as well because she just got back from Atlanta doing some things in Atlanta, and she's doing an event down in Memphis with another chef from Hell's Kitchen. They're going to be doing something down there. I'm doing things here in Jacksonville, things that are coming up that's just going to be amazingly fun. I'm going to be doing, in March, we're working on putting together a vegan pop-up with myself and another Chef Jay. He and I are going to be in Jacksonville doing a pop-up for that. Like I said, there's a lot of things going on that we want to look out for and pass along to you. So the other thing is that the Southern Passion Lounge is always about traveling and doing all kind of fun things. So I partnered up with Global Flavors Travel, Southern Passion Lounge, and it's Taste the World Through Your Passport. So if you have a passport, you might want to, you know, stick around and listen and hang out with us because we're going to be doing a lot of fun things. And so if you go to globalflavorstravel.com, You can register there. You can make all your travel arrangements, whether it's hotel, whether it's renting a car, whether you're flying or cruising. Everything can be done from there. And once you register with them on that site, every time we start putting together something out that's going to be a culinary trip, you'll get an email about it. And we have planned coming up a trip to Seattle. We'll hang out in Seattle with a couple of chef friends of mine. Chef Michael Poole will be doing chocolate classes with him. We're doing a private dinner out there as well. So check out globalflavorstravel.com, register for that, and you'll get all the emails of all the traveling trips that we're going to be doing throughout the year. Also, I want to give a big shout-out to Green Man Gourmet at 3543 St. John's Avenue. You can reach them at 384-0002. The great thing about them, I partner up with them, so I have my spices at their shop. And if you go by there and you mention Chef Amadeus, you'll receive a 15% discount. So think about that. It pays to listen to the Southern Passion Lounge. So go by and talk to the folks over there. Let them know that Chef Amadeus sent you, and you'll receive a 15% discount. The other thing that I have going on that I've been talking about for quite some time now is my backpack project. And the thing about the backpack project, it's a mentor program that I put together to mentor high school culinary kids. And so when they're coming out of school, they need to know where to go and what angle to take and things of that nature. So it's my job as a mentor, and I take this very seriously, is to sit down and talk with the kids and see where they want to go. I'm also going and talking to the kids in their classes, because they're going over some things that they only can just read about and can't get that firsthand experience on it. I was over at Raines High School culinary program with their culinary teacher, Ms. Ford, and they were going over standardized recipes, and her and I had a great conversation about that, and she, you know, just filled her in on a couple of things. They were talking about, you know, prepping things and all that good stuff. And now they have Chef Roberts that is their mentor over there. And I go over there. I'll be going over to Frank H. Peterson here locally. And then I have other chefs around the country that are doing the same thing. And they'll be coming on the lounge to talk about what they're doing in their city and working with the high school kids. One of the things we have going over at Raines that's really going to be nice is we're taking a 18-year-old young lady. She graduates this year. She's on the culinary team. She's competed a couple of different competitions. We're going to put her into an intern program that will literally give her a jump into the industry. So she'll be working with different chefs around Northeast Florida, learning how to do inventory, learning how to do run a line, you know, working with product identification. So she's working with local farmers and things of that nature. So like I said, this is all part of the backpack project that I have. And in the backpack project, like I said, when you see me out and about with my backpack on, because everybody knows I carry a backpack, I have spices in there, my own line of spices, and I have the seafood boil. Since we're down south, everybody, all my friends love crabs. They love doing their crabs and shrimp. I'm allergic to them all, but I came up with a seasoning that would enhance those flavors, because not only do you make a crab boil with it, but you can turn around and use that same broth to make a rice dish. You can make dirty rice with that. You can make I use the seafood boil to make grits with. So anything, you know, pasta or anything like that. So that's what the backpack project is all about. Want to give a big shout out to someone that I just got the phone with, and we were talking and we had a really good conversation. Thread Graphics of Central Florida. You can reach him at 407-688-7026. We had a great conversation about some upcoming projects that we may be working on. Upcoming events. You know, everybody knows that I'm changing my eating habits, so I'm switching more and more to vegetarian / vegan from time to time, but more of a vegetarian lifestyle. And so there are two big events that are coming up in Jacksonville, and they're coming up in March. March 5th is Veg Fest down at Riverside Park, and I'm going to be a part of that. And also the second annual Gastro Fest on March 19th. I'll be a part of that as well. So for Veg Fest, you can go to their website at nfvegfest.org, and you go to Gastro Fest, and you can reach them at gastrodex.com. Like I said, there's a lot of things that's coming up that the Southern Passion Lounge will be a part of, and looking forward to being a part of more and more things. I'll be in Georgia next month as well. Also coming up in on the show is I have someone from the Georgia Restaurant Association. So we'll be taking some trips to Georgia from Atlanta, Savannah, Brunswick, with the Slow Food Movement over in Brunswick. We'll be doing some things in Atlanta. Like I say, this show is all about getting to know food through the chefs. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that. So, and to continue following the show, you can follow me on Facebook at The Southern Passion Lounge, Twitter and Instagram at Chef Amadeus. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hop into our show today, and I'm looking forward to it. So stick around. Listen to The Southern Passion Lounge with your host, Chef Amadeus.
Thank you.
Fashion Lounge. I am your host, Chef Amadeus, and this is where the industry comes to hang out. And when I say the industry, I mean every part of the industry, from food bloggers to chefs to wine. This thing comes to the Southern Fashion Lounge, and today is no different. My guest today is the owner of City Extra Magazine, and we had a great conversation because he came out with this magazine came out with the top 25 restaurants, and of course, you know, I had to open up my big mouth, so I invited him on the show to talk about his magazine, and we're gonna have some fun. So welcome to the lounge. Hi, David. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Chef Amadeus?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. So let's talk about you and your magazine and why you started that magazine here in Jacksonville.
We started City Extra about a little bit over 5 years ago. Prior to that, I had worked in the medical device industry, and actually I was terminated from the company because three of the surgeons refused to work with a gay sales rep. And I wanted to make a difference in the community. And this is how I ended up doing it, by giving our community a voice to hopefully effective change that is coming in Jacksonville.
Okay. So you left, well, you didn't leave. They asked you to leave, and you wound up doing this magazine.
Yes, sir.
That's interesting. Okay.
Not something I ever thought that I would end up doing. Writing was the last thing on my mind, so I guess you could say it's like a second career at 40-something. And it's been quite interesting. We had a couple of stumbling blocks and learning the process, but now we currently have 649,000 readers throughout the South, one of the most popular magazines online and in print for the LGBT community.
Okay. So now what's some of the topics that you cover besides the obvious ones? You know, what's some of the fun ones that you guys cover?
We actually try to cover a large spectrum of the theater. We also actually started the top 25 restaurants in Jacksonville this year. We cover from the legal corner to the religious corner, all the way up to the current HRO that's going on in Jacksonville, as well as HIV. And which most people don't know is that Jacksonville has the third highest new HIV infection rates of any metropolitan city in the country.
Oh, did not know that.
Yes.
Did not know that. Okay.
It's been an ongoing issue in Jacksonville, and a lot of great agencies are working to change that through getting people tested in Jacksonville. Because 50% of the people that are infected doesn't even know that they're infected.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people just assume if I don't know, you know, out of sight, out of mind, but, you know, you got to.
Yes.
Sometimes it'll catch up to you at the wrong time.
And we cover a different array of all the entertainment that is going on in Jacksonville, from concerts. One of our clients is SMG, which handles all the big news for the city, as well as we have iHeartRadio that's coming on board next month. So we're finally there after 5 years of long, hard work and a lot of money.
So, well, let's jump into your top 25 restaurants. One of the things I found out, you know, as soon as I saw the list, I got called early in the morning and said, hey, we made the list with the chef over at Azucena. And
yes.
I was like, what list? And I was like, what list? She's like, the top 25 list. And I like, and I really had no idea about your magazine until she mentioned it to me. So I was like, okay, let me go ahead and see what's going on here. And then I, you know, called you and said, hey, what's up with this list? And you're like, oh, well, this is not, this is just what our readers like. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, I got you.
Yes.
Okay.
The list, we wanted to make sure that they were not chain restaurants. Because as
right.
a small business owner myself, the majority of our clientele is small business owners here in the local area. And a lot of times you can find in those local restaurants what you cannot even scratch a surface at in a chain restaurant. Because there's usually that uniqueness to a local owned restaurant.
Well, I have to say this. As I looked at the list, I was quite, you know, like one of the, you have 13 Gypsies. I'm a fan of 13 Gypsies. Then everybody kept telling me about Mambo's Cuban Cafe. And I was like, okay, let me check these places out. One of them on here is Nola's at Mocha, Cafe Nola.
Yes.
Every time I go down there, they have they're kind of packed, and I don't do long lines, so.
I haven't been
to that one.
When I first moved to Jacksonville from Washington, D.C., I lived in downtown Jacksonville. And so a lot of times I would go over to lunch at Cafe Nola, which I absolutely loved because the service was always good and the food was fresh and unique, more so than you would find at a typical downtown cafe or restaurant in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, every time I go downtown, I try and find a local spot. And one of my favorite spots to go downtown is Burrito Gallery. I like them. I think it's more of their patio and, you know, just I know one of the bands that plays there a lot and everything. They have some pretty good food there. Every now and then I'll stop in Azucena. Haven't been down to the noodle bar again. So like I said, Jacksonville is coming along with these restaurants downtown. And, you know, as you have, as I have told people many times, you've tricked me into writing for your magazine. You bamboozled me into writing for your magazine. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun because I think that I, besides the radio show, I do like writing. And this will give me an opportunity to, you know, spotlight some of the restaurants that I feel that people should try. And it's some of the restaurants would be out of the way. Some of the restaurants you've not probably even heard of before. But these are some good restaurants that I would believe that is perfect for not just my listeners, but your readers as well.
Yes, of course, because in Jacksonville, there are still so many places, and I've been living here for 7 years, that I've still not got to even try yet. So when I see a new suggestion or a new restaurant opening up, I do like to go and what people are talking about. Sometimes those are great experiences, and sometimes you never go back, as you probably know.
Well, you know, the worst thing about the restaurants in Jacksonville, well, not just in Jacksonville, but in general, is when you go to a restaurant, you have a good time, and then you talk about it, and then you turn around and go back, and they have a new chef there. It just spoils the whole thing for your list. So as my friend Jerry from Jacksonville Restaurant Reviews always tell me, you got to give them more than just one chance. So
yes,
that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been doing. I've been going back, giving people a second chance. It's been interesting. You know, it's been quite interesting going back on that second chance.
What would be your favorite restaurant in Jacksonville?
Well, my favorite restaurant that I like, one, I like, I'm a fan of Top of That in Five Points.
That is a great restaurant. I used to own a store across from them when they first opened up. Really good people.
Okay. So I'm a fan of Top of That. I'm a fan of Corner Taco. I'm a fan of them.
I have not tried that yet, and I will put it on my list to try this week because I've heard so many great things about that.
Well, yeah, it's good. I like it. It's a little small little spot, but it's just good food. You know, like I say, I'm not all about, you know, the decor of the place because some restaurants spend too much time on the atmosphere versus the food. So Corner Taco is one of those places where it's one of those places you go to and really sit at, yeah, sit down and have a good time with it. And one thing I tell people to do is try the soda there, the Coca-Cola, because they have the Coca-Cola. They have the Coca-Cola from Mexico that has pure sugar in it.
Oh
so
my gosh!
It's a little different. It's a little different, but it's good though. It's really good. As far as a restaurant to go to actually, you know, dine out, it used to be 11 South, but like I said, I went out there. They have a new chef idea. I'm not a fan of that anymore. Oh, a new place that's opened up is this chick can cook out at the beach on 6th Avenue. So she has, oh, my God, fresh vegetables and the whole nine yards. So check her out. Great little place. To try out. Another little hobnog spot is Sweet Theory.
Yes.
On King Street. And then another place I need to go and revisit is Southern Roots. I need to go and try Southern Roots. Because when they first opened, I was talking with them. Matter of fact, I met them. And we started talking and telling them we're going to get me to open up this place and everything like that. And now it's blossoming. So I didn't want to go back there and check it out, but I want to get back there and check them out. Of course, I like
Have
to go
you ever,
to Bistro.
Have you tried Prima Priyaki on Park
no,
Street?
No, where is that at?
No. It's on Park Street across from the Walgreens at Park and King. It's very authentic Italian dishes, and the ambiance, it's like a mom and pop operation, done upper scale, very it's not a large venue space, but what you get when you go there is cooked fresh and very probably the most authentic Italian restaurant I've been to in Jacksonville.
Okay. Jacksonville's not known for Italian food, but yeah, I guess we got to put that on the list and check it out. Have you been to Tres Leches?
Yes. It's good.
It's good. I'm allergic to shellfish, but everybody says that their paella is really good. I've been in just to grab some dessert from time to time, but I haven't had their paella because, like I said, I'm allergic to paella. And some restaurants, another restaurant that I would say I want people to try, I would say, you know, I'm like you. I don't like going to chain restaurants because it's a chain restaurant. Here's the one thing you can't get at a chain restaurant if you get at a regular restaurant. You can't go into a chain restaurant and say, send me out three courses and be creative with it. You can't do that. Because everything is, you know, same thing you do on the north side of town, you got to do it on the south side of town. So that's why I'm a big fan of smaller restaurants. And I've done that at Orsay Restaurant. I've done that at Orsay. Love going to Orsay. I haven't been in a while, but I'm a fan of Orsay. And I hear they have a great Sunday brunch as well.
I have not tried their Sunday brunch, but I will tell you somebody – a restaurant that I do like for Sunday brunch, and that's Bluefish in Avondale.
Okay. See, once again, everybody asks about Bluefish, and I don't respond to that because I send people to Bluefish, but I've only had a chicken sandwich at Bluefish because, you know, 90% of their menu is shellfish. But I've sent a lot of people there, and a lot of people really enjoy going to Bluefish. See, I used to go to Bluefish when it was called Sterling. That's back in the day. That's way back in the day. It was called Sterling. And the one thing I like about the Bluefish, and it's still there, is on a summer night, hitting that patio when it's not too cold outside.
Oh, yeah.
Patio where they have the water fountain at. And I think that's one of the, you know, the little gems in that area is that patio that you can go to and sit down there, have a glass of wine, have some good food, and sit around this fountain. It's just
exactly.
It's really, really nice. It's really, really nice.
And they have now, they have a great bar upstairs called Elevated Avondale that they usually do some very good functions at, too. And on Friday nights is an eclectic group of people just having cocktails and maybe appetizers and stuff like that upstairs.
Okay. Now, when I go out for entertainment, I mean, one of my places I enjoy going to is Alhambra Dinner Theater.
Yes.
They've
done
an
excellent
that.
Job.
Well, I'm a fan of the food they have there, the chef over there, Chef DeJuan. Since he's taken over the reins of the kitchen, he's done an amazing job over there. And the shows are just really, really great over there. So the Alhambra Dinner Theater is a nice spot to go and have some great food and entertainment as well. And you mentioned the series that you guys are associated with, the FCJ series?
Yes, the Broadway series.
Yes, when I was in Seattle, I would between the symphony and all the shows, I would always try and spend some time checking those out because during the week, you know, going to catch a show was always kind of fun to do that. I'm a big fan of the symphony, huge fan of the symphony.
The Jacksonville Symphony, we just got a new director, and he actually is here, and then he does the New York Symphony as well. Very talented young guy. His philosophy is to kind of mix the old with the new, to kind of shake up the symphony to where that it draws in the younger generation.
Gotcha. Well, I guess we need to, the Southern Passion Lounge need to put together a little show to go and check out the symphony because it's, like you say, it's been fun. Every time I go, when I'm in Seattle, I'm always going to the symphony, checking out, you know, the music and just the different shows. And the one thing that I've always done when I lived in Seattle, they would always have the opening day of the symphony. The ticket was like $10, and you go and they play every type of music they're going to play throughout the whole season. That was a lot of fun.
I think if they haven't already done it, I believe the Jacksonville Symphony is doing the Star Wars this year.
I would not doubt it, since Star Wars is a big draw right now. It's an amazing draw right now.
There is one good show that we might should all go together and see, which is going to be around my birthday in April at Chimes Union, is called Motown. And the two leads in that are absolutely amazing.
Motown. What's the, you know the
yes.
date on that?
It's April, I think the third week of April, because I know it's here during my birthday, which is around April the 22nd.
Okay, I guess we might have to, you know, put together a nice little package and go have dinner and pick a restaurant, go have dinner and go to the show and have some fun. So I think we can manage that. How can people get your magazine? Where do they get it from?
We have, if you go to cityextramagazine.com, leave out the E on the extra. That is our online version, and there is a tab on there that will tell you where our distribution points are for our print magazine.
Okay.
We have over 60 different places that we distribute the magazine, and that grows every month.
So let me ask
you. So we've been very fortunate.
Where's your favorite place to go have happy hour?
I would say my favorite happy hour place probably your readers have probably never ever heard of it. I mean, your listeners. It's Park Place at King and College. And it's a little bar that's been there for quite a while. It's situated around the Loft and Kickbacks and a couple of other restaurants, bars, nightclubs. And they call that the King Street District. And the reason I like to go there is because it's usually a mixture of people. And you've got a really good popular happy hour, and the drinks are less than $4 for Wells. Which is pretty good.
Okay.
And you get two for one.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I went to that area to the garage, and
yes.
I went there. I was recommended to go to the garage because it was late night, and I was looking for something to eat, and I wanted to be vegetarian. So I went there, and I had a sandwich there, and I was very impressed with that with their vegetarian menu.
Their nachos
very impressive.
Out of this world.
Now, nachos, Corno Taco has some good nachos as well.
I'm going to have to. Corno Taco, let me ask you this. For the food truck revolution that we've had in Jacksonville, what would be your favorite food truck?
That's easy. Hands down, my favorite, hands down, no thinking about it, is Fusion with Chef Ashley. When every time I go down to the art walk, I see her there. I'm always, you know, standing in her line to grab something to eat. So I'm a big fan of Chef Ashley and Fusion. Bar none. That is my. that's one of my favorites. And you can smell her food like when you get close to her. I mean, you ain't got to be close to her, but when you walk up to her, it just smells really, really, really well. You can still smell the passion in her sauces and stuff. So yeah, I'm a fan of hers.
I like Chef Loves. What's the name of her food truck? I'm trying to think. Chef Love, they have a restaurant over by Everbank.
Oh, you're talking about Celebs.
Yes.
Her restaurant is called Celebs. I have not had her food.
See, I'm a Mississippi boy, and if you can give me some Southern cuisine, I'm in hog heaven.
Well, here's the thing, though. I've not, with some of the food trucks that do Southern cuisine or barbecue or something like that, even the Latin food I've tasted here with the food trucks, I just haven't been too impressed with them. It's just, it's like they figure they get a food truck and just slap something together and call it a day. There's no depth, no passion in their food, and
no authenticity.
But they sell you a lot of fluff. Oh, we got the best this, and you see on their truck the best this, the best of that, da 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 da. I'm like, you know, I'm not impressed with it. When it comes to Southern food, down home Southern food, like I said, I'm a barbecue guy. All these barbecue places that are in Jacksonville that people are saying is the best is the best.
Yeah.
That's not a fan of them. My favorite barbecue places that I go to is I go to one on Moncrief, which is Holly's Barbecue. And then I go to one in Middleburg, G's Slow Cook Barbecue. Those are the ones that I like. Except when I go to somebody's house. Now, I go to somebody's house, it's different. But there's other ones that I'm looking to try. There's one called White Oak that I'm supposed to be trying.
Okay.
There's another one on Dunn Avenue that is supposed to be pretty good that I'm supposed to be trying as well. Like I said, I'm always looking for those restaurants. And when people hit me up on social media and say, hey, you need to go try this one out, I'm going there because that's what I'm trying to do. I'm always trying to do that.
I moved here from Memphis, so my taste in barbecue is that I mean, in Memphis, they do a barbecue festival every year, and you have people from all over the country that descend for this barbecue festival. And my favorite barbecue is a restaurant in Memphis called Rendezvous. And I've heard of that one right there.
Yeah, so Memphis in May is a big, I mean, people come from all over the world to go to Memphis in May. So, like I said, Jacksonville has some great food here. My biggest thing is I just wish it would be overshadowed by chain restaurants. I've said it once, I've said it a million times. If you take out Ovente and Moxie over at St. John's Town Center, that's the worst place. That's the worst thing ever happened to the food scene here in Jacksonville. Everything over there is a chain restaurant.
I will say that Five Points in the Riverside area has done an excellent job in becoming a dining out experience with local restaurants. And it's one of my favorite areas to go to when you go out to eat, because there's so many different choices and they're all locally owned.
I agree. And I say between that, now the other area I wish would have more restaurants is the Springfield area.
Yes.
So right now Springfield has Three Layers, has Uptown Market. There's a place, I can't remember the name of the place, but it's on like 7th in Maine. They do Mediterranean cuisine over there. That's a nice spot. But like I said, that's another place that I wish would get more restaurants in that Springfield area, because I have a heart for it because that's where I grew up at. So I grew up in that area, so I'm used to it. But I just think Jacksonville is coming around, though. They're coming around.
Well, I mean, from 7 years ago when I moved here, I mean, the downtown area as far as restaurants was very lacking. But now you see more and more restaurants opening up in downtown Jacksonville. As it continues to grow and there are more housing that becomes available in downtown Jacksonville, there will be that requirement for more dining out places. Jacksonville downtown currently is occupied 90%. So there's no more housing available in the downtown area. So now they've got to build that, and as they're building that, we will gain even more restaurants. And downtown, midtown areas, metropolitan cities are known for great cuisines.
I agree. Like I said, I live in Seattle, and downtown Seattle, downtown Portland is just amazing. Downtown San Francisco, Atlanta, Charleston, all these places have all been, they're all known for their food. So I'm looking forward to, you know, continuing this food relationship with your magazine, and to bring, you know, these chefs that your readers are enjoying, bring them on the show and talk about, you know, what they're doing. And like I said, some of these are really nice, really, really nice ones that I like. Catering by Liz, she's been around for a long time, so it's no surprise that you know, she's one of those that you guys like. So as we get into this, my article will come out in February, right? Come out in February?
Yes.
And
be the first Friday of February.
First Friday of February. So I'm looking forward to that. And I got five places that people should go. And I have to say, Chef Ashley will be in that food truck part of it. Because, like I said, I'm a fan of hers. And like I said, the other food trucks, I'm really afraid to try them because I'm going to be disappointed. I wasted my money. I give you $9, $10 for a sandwich, and it's blah, blah, blah. And you say, oh, wait, put sauce on it. Why don't you just sell me your sauce for $10 versus telling me, you know what I'm saying? Sell me the sauce for $10. Don't sell me some bland meat and like, oh, well, you should have put sauce on it. Oh, you should have put some seasoning and passion into it. But anyway, I'm going to get off my soapbox.
I'll tell you, one of the good one of the good little food trucks that's Tex-Mex is Taste Buds Express.
Taste Buds Express. Okay.
Yes, you have got to try them because it's authentic Tex-Mex. They've been operating now, I guess, about 3 years, and it's really good. It's got a little kick, a little bite, and you can go up to different levels of the spice.
Okay.
And it's just really good.
Well, like I said,
and you won't
the,
be disappointed.
Now, my listeners here, you tell me I won't be disappointed. So when I go there, I'll be like, oh. let my listeners know how they can find you and if they have any questions about your magazine.
The website is cityextramagazine.com. CityExtraMagazine.com. We're also on our social media as City Extra Magazine on Twitter and on Facebook. And you can contact us via the website or our social media, and we'll promptly get back in touch with you.
All right. Well, cool beans. Well, thank you for coming by. And like I said, we'll stay in touch because, like I said, I'm looking forward to this article coming out the first Friday in February, and I might have to do a little get together to launch it.
Okay, sounds great to me.
All righty then. So yeah, we'll stay in touch. Okay.
All right. Have a great day. Thank you again.
Thank you for stopping by.
Bye.
So that's the Southern Passion Lounge getting ready to get into writing about food and local great flavor, which is going to be awesome for me because I'm always opinionated, as my buddy Jerry says. We're going to be talking about, I always talk about eating local. So we're going to be talking about the Farmer's Report now. And in the Farmer's Report, we have none other than Terrell Hawkins.
Up next, the Farmer's Report, brought to you locally by Abundant Harvest. Stop by our farm at 8599 Smoky Road in Glen St. Mary, Florida. Contact us by visiting our Facebook page or call us at 904-655-4378. And now, Chef Amadeus with today's guest.
About what's in the ground coming up, what we're going to be doing for the next, I guess, 3 months or whatever. So with that being said, welcome to the lounge, Korea. Hey, Korea, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you today, Chef?
I'm doing good. You know, just, you know, talking about, you know, food trucks and, you know, things like that. It's just crazy because, you know, I get on the soapbox talking about the food truck. See, he shouldn't ask me what's my favorite food truck and why.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
oh. He didn't know.
He didn't know. But, you know, the place that the one truck he mentioned, Taste Buds Express, I put that on my list. I'm going to go try it out.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
You know, because I like when people tell me, you know, hey, you need to go try this place out and you go try that place out.
Right.
I go try them out. I have no problem doing that. So, but anyway, so, Let's talk farm. Let's talk about farm.
Okay.
What's going on?
Awesome. It's great to be on the show today, of course, and to talk about seasonal produce and how important it is to eat seasonal produce as well as eating local. I have a lot of questions to ask of me about what should I eat, how do I pick out fruits and vegetables. So I'm just going to give people a little bit of information on how to choose seasonal vegetables and why it's so important to choose seasonal vegetables. First of all, people don't really think about it, but it's really easier on your wallet to choose vegetables that are or produce that's within their area that's local, because what's in season, it's what's closest to you, and it's packaged. It's normally less expensive, especially if you purchase those fruits or vegetables at a farmer's market or a local farm or from a farm or from a local farmer. For example, like I love growing herbs. My favorite herb to grow is basil. sometimes you actually see basil and other herbs packaged in the packaging within the grocery store. You'll see it even in the winter months. And it's not one of those herbs that's normally grown in the winter, but you will still see it in the grocery stores. But a lot of times you'll find they have the black speckles, moldy leaves, and the costs are very steep. You're looking at about anywhere from like $3 to $4 for about half an ounce. When in actuality, if you were to purchase that same herb in the summer months, it's going to be crispier, it's going to be fresher, and you actually have a more generous amount, especially if you purchase it from a local farm or farmer's market, and your costs will be substantially less. You'll pay like between a dollar or less, well, within a dollar or two for a pretty nice-sized bunch of basil. We are dealing with the grocery stores. They're looking at just basically the law of supply and demand. They're wanting to actually just meet the demands of the people. And a lot of times we as consumers, when we shop in the stores, we don't really think about how far some of this produce actually has to travel to come to us. It's not local products. They're coming from a long way, sometimes out of the country. So you're actually eating produce that has preservatives, it has wax, different things on it to actually help it to not be overripe in that transfer process. But we don't think about what we're actually jeopardizing. We're jeopardizing nutritional value. We're actually allowing more chemicals in our bodies because we're buying things that are not locally grown. And that shipping, and then they have to actually chill it. And we don't even really want to think about it being housed in a warehouse for an extended period of time. That happens as well. One other thing that I like for people to actually be aware of, nowadays you have access to a lot of information on the web, and you can go on the website to actually see exactly what is actually within your area that's seasonal, that's being grown within your area, and that way you know when you go to the grocery store what items to purchase and what items to actually stay away from. And when you eat in season, also another thing, you do have to be concerned about the nutritional benefit from the vegetable or the produce that you're purchasing. Because if you're eating something that you're not getting a nutritional benefit from it, what's the use in actually consuming something of that, you know, that quality?
Mm-hmm.
So my main thing is with the produce, it really concerns me when I see people, they'll come to the farmer's markets and they'll ask you for items that are not even grown in our area. They're not grown in this area. So a lot of times it just comes from just not knowing. It's something that they want, and people are so accustomed to going to the store, and when they see it, they just buy it. They don't even look to see exactly where or how far it actually had to travel to get to them, or what actually may be on that produce to help it to actually reach them in transit. So my suggestion is to frequent stores with education, making sure that you're aware of what's grown locally, also supporting local farmers and local farmers markets with the farmers because, you know, we take pride in our product, and we, farms like ourselves, we manage our land sustainably, and we really invested into providing nutritious food. So, and there are a lot of farms just like us that really want to provide nutritious food. So you want to try to stay away from, the produce that, you know, has to travel a long way away, or that's something that's commercially farmed in some way, because commercially farmed produce is actually more concentrated on quantity more than quality. And quality actually should be the foremost important thing that we're looking at.
So let me ask you this: when you say you're farming sustainably, what does that mean?
When I say that we're farming sustainably, it means that when we grow our produce and fruit, we are staying away from herbicides, insecticides, and any commercial type fertilizers. And all of our practices are humane to ourselves, our community, as well as the animals and the environment as a whole. So we're not doing anything that's harmful to the environment. When you do hear that word sustainable, I know a lot of people do have questions about that word. What does it mean? We're trying to sustain. We're trying to protect the environment itself because we want the environment to be safe for everyone in any of our farming practices. And any farm that's sustainable, they're practicing the same thing as well.
Okay. Well, like, so a lot of people always ask that question to me, you know, you know, when people say, when the farmers or people say we're doing things sustainable, what does that really, really mean to the consumer?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and it's very important. It's very important if you think about it, because if everyone used the chemicals and herbicides, and I mean, we wouldn't really have much of an environment left over a period of time. It wouldn't be anything that would be of any nutritional value because everything's laced with a chemical of some type. So, you know, we practice not using those things. That means we have to be more diligent in our work, but which is it's worth it because we have a more healthier, nutritious product that we produce.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
So on your farm, what are you doing to educate people about what's going on in the farm and, you know, what things taste like versus what's in the store? What are you doing as far as the educational?
Okay, what we do is we actually have tours. We have tours and demonstrations on the farm. And really the basis of those tours and education, as well as our summer camps, they're all just to make people and the youth aware as to, you know, the importance of not only just growing your own produce, but the practice in which you actually do to produce the food, making sure it is free of the chemicals itself. We teach people how to grow their own vegetables. We actually let them taste the vegetables. Some people actually never tasted fresh vegetables before, so you would really be surprised of the experiences that people have. It's like, well, this really tastes delicious, you know. So we let them get that experience firsthand. We also have classes where when we teach them how to grow their own, we teach them not to use the chemicals and then the additives and different things in their practice as well. I mean, if they choose to do that later on, that's fine. But we teach them the methods that we use as well.
Okay. Do you have any fundraisers coming up?
We do. We have coming up in April 30th, we have our charity benefit dinner that actually will be here on the farm. And the charity benefit, what it does is to help us to reach more people in actually spreading our word as to how you should eat, how you should actually produce more nutritious food. We have the summer camps. We have all of our programming and workshops, and we need help in actually helping those to actually to be successful, as well as to reach a larger population. So we have that fundraiser, and we will be advertising, and we'll have more information coming out very soon as to how you could either be a participant, sponsor, you could make donations, or you can actually just come and share with us in the event on that particular night.
And how much are the tickets?
The tickets will be $50 per person, and it does include a full night of entertainment. You'll have a farm tour prior to the event. We have live entertainment. We'll have our very own Chef Amadeus preparing our food from the farm. So we have fresh produce. You actually get a chance to eat some of the the produce and the farm fresh products from the farm itself. We have a guest host, and we just have a whole night of entertainment that's planned for you that we hope to be very memorable for you, as well as helping us achieve our goals and supporting our outreach programs.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful time because
yes,
I think eating on a farm is going to be kind of fun. You know,
yes,
you know, I'm an outdoors guy, so you know, anytime I get to cook outdoors on some cast iron skillets and some pots and things like that, I just think it's getting back to nature, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. So I hope all my listeners will.
It's a really good way of life. Yeah, it is. It's a great way of life, and we really enjoy it out here, and we really like the idea of, you know, allowing people to be able to have that same experience that we have, eating clean, and, you know, we have the artesian wells, and just to think about the looks on some of the kids' faces, even during the summer camp when they taste the water. One little boy said, "I've never tasted water like this before." You know, I mean, just to think about just small things like that, you know, not being able to drink water out of your faucet, but you can drink water off the farm, and, it, you know, it has a different taste, and they can tell the difference. So, you know,
oh,
it's
yeah.
a great way.
Oh, yeah, tell the difference big time.
Yeah,
well,
it's a difference.
You know what? It's always a pleasure having you stopping by, and trust me, I look forward to using more of your product off of your farm as well. So, it's always kind of fun.
And we can also be, you can actually buy our produce at the Riverside Arts Market. We're there every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and that's at 715 Riverside Avenue in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, awesome. So you're there for the winter farm.
We are. We also plan on making the Riverside Arts Market our permanent home as well. We love it there as well. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, and by the way, the Riverside Arts Market winter closes at 1 o'clock.
Yes, it closes at 1 o'clock. Yes, it does. Yes.
I had to get that in there because, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, I got time. I'm going to go down there. I'm like, you close? They're like, we close at 1 o'clock. I'm like, crap.
Yeah, so all of January and February is the winter Riverside Arts Market. And then back in when it starts back up in March with all of the vendors, then it closes at 4. But January, February, majority of the vendors are farmers, and you get to see all this wonderful, fresh, local produce. It's amazing out there.
Yeah, like I said, that's one of my favorite spots to go on Saturday morning, get up and go to the farmer's market. So I'll hit that market, and then I'll go over to the Beaver Street Market and hang out with Florence over at Conscious Eats. And like I say, just if you haven't tried Conscious Eat, make sure you follow them on Facebook and Florence, because she's coming up with some amazing flavors that she just puts together and just great. So cool beans. Well,
yes.
So yeah, we'll stay in touch, because like I said, as close as we get to the event in April, it'll be worth letting everybody know what's going on and get
yes,
them to come
we'll
out
keep
to the farm,
you posted on everything. Yes, we
okay.
appreciate you. Having us on today as well, Chef Amadeus.
Not a problem. Like I said, this show is all about being local, and you guys are very, very local. So I want to appreciate everything.
We are. All right. Thank you
all
so much. Have a great day. All right. Take care.
You too.
This segment of the Farmer's Report on the Southern Passion Lounge has been brought to you by Abundant Harvests. Make sure to stop by our farm at 8599 Smoky Road in Glen St. Mary, Florida. Visit our Facebook page or call us at 904-655-4378.
All right, so that was the Farmer's Report. Like I said, we want to keep everything nice and local, but I have friends that are all over the country. And my next guest is out of Memphis, Tennessee, doing some great things down there, basically in Memphis. But she is about to blow up and I'm happy to have her on my show today. Chef Kina, welcome to the Southern Passy Lounge.
Hi.
Hi. So, Miss Kina, how are you doing?
I'm awesome.
Well, we know. You're just so awesome. So tell us about you and Hell's Kitchen, and how did that come about?
I actually went out for Hell's Kitchen when they had open calls in Memphis around 2010, and I didn't make it. So they had open calls again, and I drove to Atlanta, and everybody looked the same. Every chef in there had on a black or white chef jacket, and I had on a purple jacket, red pants, blonde hair, and ombre lip. So it's all about personality. You have to stand out. And I stood out.
Well, that you do stand out.
I do.
You do stand out. What was the process like? Did you have to cook, or was it more about conversation?
It's actually about your personality. You do not cook until you make it, and you have to do your signature dish. That's the first time you cook.
Okay. And what did you make?
I made a mushroom couscous with a crab stuffed salmon.
Okay. So now this is the new season starts on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You excited about it? I know you're doing, you know. I know you can't tell us everything that went on.
Right.
You know, in the future. But like I said, I'm extending the offer to you to come on Mondays and catch us up with what happened that day. That's all I want you to do is. So when you come on Monday, like, listen, last Friday, this, and this happened, and, you know, this is why this happened.
I never will ask you
who won. I will not ask you that because I know you can't do that. So I just want you to come on and give us that inside scoop on, is she really that bad, or, you know, those kind of questions. So Friday is the first episode. And
it's the
season premiere. So let me ask you this. What was more shocking to you? Was it the lights, the cameras, or just all the intensity?
The behind the scenes.
Okay. Because I know a lot of people that they want to, like, I want to be on this TV show. I want to be on that TV show. And I tell them all the time, I say, it's not what you really think it is. There's more behind the scenes than it is in front of the scenes.
Right, and that's how it was with me. Like, it took me, I'm one of them people, it took me by surprise, like, whoa, I did not expect all of this. So it took me by surprise. And
okay.
I think my downfall was I got homesick. And you have to try to fight through that. So it's like, it's crazy.
Here's my whole thing. You know, me personally, I would never do the Hell's Kitchen or those kind of things because I don't like living with a bunch of people. And see,
oh my God!
Listen, I was in the military, and when you're in the military, you have no choice but to be on a ship with in a room filled with like 24 people that have every allergy, snoring, the whole nine yards. So when I got out the Navy, I was like, you know what? That's why when I did the Extreme Chef, they was like, oh, you just come in and leave? Okay, I could do that. I could come in and leave. But living with somebody? No, they got that many people? No, I couldn't do that.
Because the dorm is 18 people in the house, right?
Yeah,
but look, you're not even sleeping on twin beds, you're sleeping on bunk beds. That's about how size, about how big it is. And
On bunk beds?
Yeah, like the size of a bunk bed, it's smaller than a twin bed.
Oh my God. Well, that must have been hard for you. Listen, that must have been hard for you because you're
not getting it. Yeah, because you know, from sleeping in a king and a queen size bed to that, you like, wait.
Oh, that's crazy. So far, what would your advice be to somebody that's trying to get on Hell's Kitchen?
If you're gonna do Hell's Kitchen, make sure you're mentally prepared. Because it really takes a toll on you. They have to be mentally prepared.
Okay. That's good to know. Like I said, I get a lot of people, a lot of young cooks coming out of culinary school, or they're like, man, I want to do Hell's Kitchen. I want to do Top Chef. I want to do Chopped. I want to do all this here.
I'm
and
not
just
even
like you said.
But
here's the thing. And you need to get seasoned to do these things. Like when I went on Extreme Chef, I was seasoned because I've always done what they had me do. I do door knock sessions. I show up at people's house and just cook whatever they have. I don't know what they're going to have. I just cook what they have. I was there. I'm sitting there looking at this dude and the other chef like, wow, y'all out here running around. Now, the guy who was on my show, he did great work. He did some pretty good work. But the girl on there, I'm sitting there like, you know, she was bragging about what she's doing and I could do this and I could do that. And I'm like, you know what? You got kicked off first because you don't think you couldn't think ahead the next step ahead. And like I said, these shows are different. They're more than what you think they are, right?
Yeah, for the most part. But, you know, my thing is a lot of people worry about if you go home first or if you go home early. My thing is, even if you go home early, you beat out thousands of people to get on here. Can't nobody take that away from you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate it when I see people like, oh, she can't cook. She went home first. No, that's not true. That's not true. Because you went home first, you could have had a bad day. We all have bad days.
Yes.
She could have just had a bad day and went home first. That don't mean you can't cook. But you still got your jacket. The opening credit gonna run until the season over with. So they still gonna see your face and your name. Like I don't like when people do that.
Well, you know, I was watching Top Chef right now, and that was another thing that, you know, the girl that went home first, she was, you know, all bubbly and everything. I'm Miss Sassy, and I'm the sassy in the kitchen, and she went home. I'm like, but my whole thing is, every time I watch these shows, one of the things that always blow my mind is they'll say, here's your product. And it seems like the one person always says, oh, I got this. I grew up cooking this. And da, 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 da. They the ones that don't do good on that segment. I'm like, just go cook your food and let it show through your food. Because there's some good, there's some pretty interesting people on Top Chef this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with Hell's Kitchen on Friday. So, now that you've experienced that, what do you have going on in Memphis now? What's going on in Memphis?
Oh, Jesus. You know, I'm busy. developing new cupcake flavors. And I actually found out that I was getting the key to the city. Like, everything is going awesome right now. And I'll be getting recognized by the state governor. So, like, everything is picking up.
Okay, okay. Now, don't you have a brunch that's coming up?
No, I don't have a brunch. I met up with season 14 runner-up yesterday, and we had a Sunday dinner in Atlanta where we did the menu off Hell's Kitchen. And when I say we had over 150 reservations, we had, like, we filled her restaurant up twice.
Oh, nice. So how did that make you feel to go to another city and just people showing you that love?
Oh my God, it was unbelievable. I watch this show all the time. Or because we had like flyers made, so they'll come up and they'll look at the flyer and they'll look at me and they'll go, "Oh, you're so pretty." I'm like, "Thank you."
And I see that you, while you were in Atlanta, you were working with the Boys and Girls Club. That's always nice to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of the Boys and Girls Club because I grew up in the Boys and Girls Club. Well, back then it was just called the Boys Club. So that's great that when you go to different cities, you always give back to the community. That's always a good thing. So how can people reach out to you during the season?
How can they reach out to me? ChefKina.com.
ChefKina.com. Okay, well, cool beans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I say, I want to thank you for stopping by, and next Monday I'm going to have you come by and explain a little bit more what happened on Hell's Kitchen on Friday. And much continuous success to what you've been doing. Because, you know, you and I have been talking for quite some time now. So I'm loving to see where you're going and how you're just doing your thing and getting comfortable with everything. So thanks for stopping by, and we'll talk real soon, okay?
Okay, thank you for having me.
Oh, not a problem. I will see you on TV on Friday.
All right.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
So when we're in the Southern Passion Lounge, like I said, I want to reach out and touch everybody that's doing some wonderful things. Coming up next week, we're going to have another great show. We're having who's coming on next? Oh, so you know the show Sweetie Pie? Well, the chef that's out there helping them with that, she's going to be stopping by. Chef Chandra is going to be stopping by to talk about everything that's going on in L.A. with Sweetie Pies. Then we have Keith, who is here in Jacksonville from Foodie USA. He's going to be stopping by talking about what's going on with what he has. And, of course, we'll have the Farmer's Report as well. Don't forget, stop by Green Man Gourmet in the shops of Avondale at 3543 St. John's Avenue. You give them a call at 904-384-0002. And if you mention Chef Amadeus, you will see 15% discount on that. When you see me out in public, make sure you see me and talk to me about the Backpack Project to help out the local high school culinary students here in Jacksonville. Also, visit globalflavorstravel.com. Register for that because we're getting ready to start doing some traveling. And those that are already registered and on that list, you'll get the email first to talk about what we get ready to do. Before you even hit the airwaves, you'll get a little email that says, "Hey, this is the first trip we're doing. We're going to this place or that place." So check out the website, globalflavorstravel.com, and you'll get all that information from there when we send out. What else? Oh, don't forget, BegFest. It's coming up in March. I'm promoting it early because I want you guys to come out and see what I'm doing, see who I'm doing it with. So check out BegFest on March 5th in Riverside Park. And on March 19th, check out a GastroFest. I was there last year, and a lot of people came out, supported what I was doing, supported the Spice Line. I appreciate all of that. And also coming up in March, we're going to do a pop-up vegan dinner with J. William Culinary. So Chef Jay and I will get together, and we're going to put together this pop-up vegan dinner. So stick around for that. Follow us. Follow me on Twitter at Chef Amadeus. Hashtag The Southern Passion Lounge. Follow me on Instagram at Chef Amadeus. On Facebook, you can follow me as The Southern Passion Lounge. And we want to make sure that if you have any comments, I want to hear about them. If you want to hit me directly, you can hit me on email at chefamadeus@gmail.com. And I want to hear your comments about local restaurants you like, any upcoming events that you want to talk about. Send them to me. If you don't like what I've said on my radio show, I want to hear them too, because I want to be able to, and I will read them on the air. So I, you know, hey, I want to know what's going on with everybody. So I appreciate everybody listening and tuning in, because this radio show is for you guys. And don't forget, my article will start airing in City Extra magazine the first Friday in February, and we might have to put together a nice little launch party for that. So stick around for that. So that being said, as always, have a bumping good time.